So I want to explain a little bit. Well, first of all, there I have a new product, and it's more than a product. It's attempting to be an ecosystem where it exists to create other products or to influence existing products. This is something I've learned over many, many years in software, in tech, and it's probably true everywhere, in every aspect of life, which is people don't listen to their friends, they listen to their competitors. And it's observable. I mean, you tell somebody, well, this would make a great feature for your product, and I can think of 8,000 different things I'm going to do with it. And by the way, I have a product that could really benefit from this, and we could have some nice interrupt, and we could break some new ground, and, you know, really, like, there are features like that that I think about all the time that because I don't have a product in that area, I can't implement them, and I don't want to implement them. I just want to see this happen and use it and then see where it leads. I mean, this is sort of a process. I have never in my memory been able to influence a product that way. No. I think that maybe in tiny little insignificant ways, but inside, and because most products are created by companies, but some of them are created by people too, and they really don't, they don't want to work with you. They want something else, you know, and I've seen this too, is that everybody will gravitate to the platform vendor. I want to work with Apple. I want to work with Google. I want to work with Microsoft or whatever. I mean, and then that's a big sort of, you know, trophy. Look, I'm working with Microsoft. That must be pretty cool, right? And so they want that connection. But if they look to the left or the right at their peers, at people, you know, that are just like them, where it wouldn't be much of a trophy, is they could work with each other, actually. You see, they probably would be willing to work with each other if they stopped and thought about where that might lead. It might lead to real independence. Because the truth is, developers are not dependent on the platform vendors. As odd as that might seem, because inside they're made up of programmers that exist under incredible constraints. They have so many things they have to get through so that they work at a glacial pace. And that I once heard a guy at a company, a big company, maybe even the biggest company at the time, we went out to lunch. This was in early RSS days. And he said, you know that... that question they ask you in the so-and-so dialogue, and I go, because I was a Windows user at the time. Oops, this was Microsoft. Look, listen to me. I just blew it. That was really not intentional. I'm not that good. Okay, so yes, this was a question that was asked in one of the dialogues in Windows. And as a matter of fact, I was familiar with it. And I said, yeah. He said, you know that question? Well, I wrote that question. I go, oh, I try to hide my surprise that this is considered important inside of Microsoft. But nah, not outside. I don't give a shit who wrote that. I don't, why would I care? It just seems so insignificant to me. You know, I roll through things so quickly relative to that, you know, how many of those prompts have I written? I mean, you know, routinely, I don't consider it an accomplishment. But that's what you're dealing with here, is you're dealing with people who are envious of you as an independent developer. Because, and then this is in their point of view, is that you are a parasite. You get all the credit. We do all the work. You make all the money. We get paid shit. I don't know. You can keep going. It's just the way it works, is people are jealous of everybody, really, in some way or another. And but there's another side to this. You know, I've been on both sides, but realistically more often on the independent side. I would say to them, well, I don't know, you get a salary, you get paid every week, no matter what. You have benefits, you have a health plan, you have a retirement plan, you get 5 weeks vacation every year. Every 5 years, you get half a year off for a sabbatical. I mean, you can envy, you know, the grass is always greener, right? So it's not likely they're going to really work with you. They might work with you a little bit if the CEO of the company says they have to. And but really only a little insignificant amount. And I've been surprised so many times when they wanted the PR benefit of working with me. At the time, I was much more famous and influential than I am now. And so people actually did want that. It didn't occur to me that that's what they wanted. So once we started, quote unquote, working together, I sent them off a list of the things that all the things I want to do now that we're working together. And the guy called me up and he says, I don't think you understand. We're doing all the work. Oh, I see. So anyway. So what I'm trying to do here is something that I've actually done before. This is with a product, and I think of it as a product, very much like a product. It's called RSS.chat. And I also, by the way, this is going to surprise you, but I thought of podcasting as a product, especially in the years 2001 to 2004, because it existed. It was something we had developed software for. We were ready for it to explode. When we opened it up, we thought, well, that's it. Everybody's going to start podcasting. And nobody understood. Nobody cared. It went right over their heads. There were no podcasts for quite some time that were really presented as such, so that there could be a visible, you know, sort of movement or wave that other people could say, oh, wow, this seems to be happening. Maybe I better find out more about it. That you don't necessarily, well, you know, it was initially kind of a disappointment when the product that I created that bootstrapped podcasting called Radio Userland was basically never covered by journalism, even though it was by far the leading product in RSS and blogging at the time. The two things put together and blogging all on its own. You know, there was a period where there was a rapid succession of different leading products in there, and radio had its moment. It was preceded by Blogger and then succeeded by Movable Type. And a lot of that had to do with what the press did. The press didn't like us. And so, oh, this is an interesting story. this is how I know, well, let me just tell you the story. So the first guy comes out with a review of all of the products that do feed reading. And he left Radio Userland out of it. And I called him up. I said, what is, you know, what? I emailed him, actually. I didn't call him. I said, how could you leave out Radio Userland? It started it. It's number one. These guys are the also, I didn't say all that, but they were trying to have our market, which is fine. I don't mind that. But how did you leave our product out? And he said, I can choose to review whoever I want to. I can't answer that. I mean, that's obviously true. But why would you? Well, anyway, so here's that's the fucked up part. All right. Here's the interesting part. All the subsequent reviews of the category reviewed exactly the same products as this guy did. So consequently, Radio Userland fell off as soon as, you know, feed reading and podcasting became famous, it didn't it didn't disappear. It didn't die. I mean, there were plenty of users. There was great word of mouth. People loved Radio Userland. And so, yeah, but if you ever buy into the idea that journalists do original work, let me tell you, I've been on the other side of that too many times to see that they don't. They just copy each other, or they pick up the verbiage from the manufacturer's press release, from the developer's press release. there's not a whole lot of original writing going on in journalism. So when they sort of complain about AI sort of taking that away, that's just, I see that. Journalists love to complain about things being taken away from them and how they aren't getting paid enough and whatever. Well, we all have that, you know, but they happen to own the press. So that's what we hear a lot about. You know, it's an influential job. I could talk about that too. I had a gig at Wired for a few years, and I can't, how addictive that influence is. It's unbelievable. As influential as I was as a blogger, did not compare to the influence that I had as a columnist at Wired. I mean, seriously. So anyway, I got to go back to the initial ideas. Okay, why can't you create an account on RSS.chat? Well, RSS.chat is my site, personal. And it's always going to have a very small number of people relative to other social networks. It's a social network for my friends. It's a social network for people that I work with, that I create with, and that generally I have a long-term relationship with. One of the people that's on my on RSS.chat is Don Park. And I've known Don Park since at least 1988. That's when we did our first project together. I've always enjoyed hanging out with Don. he's got a very sort of bitter sense of humor. And he's smart. And I don't know, when I talk, he understands what I'm saying. When he talks, not so much. I have a lot of trouble with it, but I also know that we're always working in the same area. And what got us back together in this time period is the fact that we're both really heavy into Claude Code. And which I have to say, we're going to do some amazing things with AI in this thing. I'm not kidding. People want to make software with AI. And how about a experienced software developer very deliberately makes that easy and teaches Claude how to work with you? See, I've seen this sort of miracle in a few friends who are very bright and creative people who have never learned how to program. It wasn't ever on their radar. And they're, you know, getting on in age, of course, my friends. Sorry. And they've, and I, in one case, I encouraged her. I said, just go ahead and tell ChatGPT that you want to write a piece of software. And then it'll ask you, well, what kind of software did you have in mind? And you'll tell it. And I'll say, okay, would you like me to make that for you? And you're going to say, what? Okay, of course I want to. And you'll try it out. So, oh my God, I can't believe I created that. And then you go back and you say, well, I like it, but I wish it would do this, this, and this. And you go back and there it is. Wow, it did what I asked it to do. There's no joke, you are creating software there. There's nothing, you know, I imagine that, I mean, I'm a guy who did this the hard way for many, many years. And to do what I do, it still is the hard way. And I'll explain that in a second. And then I better go because I have some things I have to do. excuse me. So the thing is that when you ask ChatGPT to make an app for you, it makes a really specific kind of app. They're all dashboards. And, you know, a dashboard has a place for you to enter some data, and it has beautiful graphs and maps and stuff, you know. Naked Jen did one where she wanted to know where all the kombucha stores are. She's traveling a lot now. She wanted a thing she could put on her phone, and whenever she called it up, she would tell it where it is, and they would tell her where to go get some great kombucha, which also for her is a place to make friends, and Jen makes friends like wherever she goes. And that is an amazing thing, it really is. So what I think is bound to happen in the next year or two, and should happen, and I'm on it, is that each of us should take the kind of software that we know how to do best and basically create a template for that. And by template, I mean, so whereas ChatGPT will always gravitate towards making a dashboard for you, this one will automatically gravitate to making a social network for you. And I'm not kidding. Me and Claude had an architecture in there, and we've stayed with it through the end, where the user interface that sits in the middle of the whole thing. I mean, there's all these, it's simple, but you realize that there are a lot of wires coming in and going out. And then once you see what that is, it is really simple. See, that's the idea. That's why RSS is called RSS, because everything about it is we're trying to factor and remember what people are trying to do and only do that. And that's how you keep it simple. So, So what you would do is, let me fire up Claude. I would probably fire up Claude because that's what I'm using now. Although I'm absolutely sure you could do it just as well with Codex. And you're going to say first you're going to say run this app or load this file. It's going to be something like that. I don't really know how to do this part of it yet, but don't worry. I have a great friend called Claude who knows about all this stuff. And so you're going to load in a bunch of instructions, however that works. And you're going to tell Claude, I'm just going to use Claude for now. You're going to tell Claude that when I start a new session, just automatically read this. Those set of instructions will tell it everything it needs to know to create a new user experience in the middle of all of those wires. And so you don't ever have to worry about the wires. They're just there. You don't even have to think about them. Though you can think about them, you might want to include them in your user interface as we have with, or as we will do more of with RSS.chat. But it's up to you. What do you want to do? You know, do you want it to look like WhatsApp? That's actually how we started this. We started this with WhatsApp. And then I realized, well, Chris, I'm not going to stop there. I know what I really want. So maybe you want it to look like a chat app. And that's fine. You could do that. Or more accurately, you and your AI could do it. Because we'll have all the information that the AI needs. And that will go all the way down to the source code because this is open source. And it already is, but we're going to just keep updating it, you know? And that's why I think of this, and this maybe should be the title of the podcast, even though I didn't start out this way. I think of it as open source plus, because you not only get the source. So if you want to go around and create something in a new way, at a much deeper sort of wire level way, then you can start with my code and you can go hack that up. That's cool, except it would be preferable if you would interop with everything else that we're creating here or that other people are creating. I mean, that, you know, I've often said this, that the web and interop are the same idea. That was the idea for the web, really the idea for the internet that came before it. And you can infer that it must be the philosophy of everything that comes next on top of the web. Or being in this case, it's not on top of the web. It just is of the web. It is built out of the pieces of the web. Which is why every part is replaceable. And there's the opposite of lock-in. There's, now I forgot what the word was. Oh, locked open. So there's lock-in, which means, you may like it, but you can't get out of here. It's a really nice hamster cage. That's the way we used to position it. Oh, look at all the tricks I can do in the hamster cage. But it's still a cage, right? And this will take a lot more time to build out. But the build-out will go on forever. If we all interrupt. As soon as people say, well, no, I'm the big world. I'm the thing. This is the thing that you hear. I don't even want to name names, but They say, oh, we'll just rewrite all the rules. We'll create a new web and we'll call it the web, and it won't be compatible with anything you do, and we'll control it. Where? Whoa. In what way is that the web? It is not the web. Well, anyway, I've said enough for today. This is my first RSS chat podcast. And there's been a lot. I know that if you've only been listening to the podcast, this is coming out of where? Left field. If you need to catch up, it's all documented on scripting.com. I've only been writing about it publicly now, I think, well, for less than a week, really. So, and today is what? Today is July 12th, 2026. Yeah. And, you know, I'm sorry about that. I'm not like a scheduled podcaster, in case you can't tell. I do it when I get it together. And so anyway, if you made it this far, I want to thank you for listening, and talk to you soon. Bye.